Enjoy it, Stivers. Here it comes in your face, just the way you love it. Week 11! Yeah! The Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast with Brad Taylor from ESPN Radio, live from Lexington, and my buddy Beer Man. Thanks, buddies.
Hey, buddies.
Yellow.
Classic Rock 92.1, Dead Air Dennis. Joining you, the three of us, to nail down Week 11. I can't wait. So excited.
Boy, I feel good about this Thursday night game. I feel really good about this Thursday night game. In fact, it's going to be my 10,000-star supergalactic lock of the millennium. What do you think about that, Beer Man?
I think I will take Green Bay.
Oh, you will, huh? Figures. I will Riverside you, my friend, if I can get this thing to stay.
Yeah, if you could just get your mic to stay.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. There we go. Okay. What did we learn about Thursday night football? Anything last night? Because we're doing this on Friday, folks.
I like doing it this late in the week. I'm sorry for my late appearance here. It's been a day of tumult and challenges, but here we are on a Friday. What did we learn last night about Aaron Rodgers? He's cooked. He's done. He's toast.
Is it over for the – do you think that we'll see Jordan Love by the end of the season, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have to, right? You know, see what we got. Beer Man, you looking at your phone to get another picture there?
No.
Another one?
No, I completely agree. I think at this stage, when you know Green Bay's not going to make it, you've got to at least see what you got in Jordan Love. Supposedly, this is a great quarterback class that's coming into the NFL. Let's be honest. Rodgers may hang him up at the end of this year, may hang him up at the end of next year. If he decides to play a year after that, it's a $59 million cap hit. I don't think Green Bay's going to go for that at that stage.
He's got his fastball. He still has the fastball. He just can't hit the strike zone. Did you notice that several times last night? His throws were just errant.
Well, if you ask him, he's playing baseball and a bunch of his receivers are playing wiffle ball.
Yeah. Brad?
I'd rather be playing wiffle ball.
I love some wiffle ball. I
do. Love wiffle ball.
Yes, yes. He's playing chess and the rest of them are playing checkers.
There you go.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying. His own family, Aaron Rodgers' family doesn't even talk to him.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, it's not like this is a new thing.
It's almost like he's the Stivers of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, his own family doesn't like him. Yes, I can see that. I wonder how Stivers is going to celebrate Thanksgiving next week, by the way. Is he going to just eat by himself? Is he going to Waffle House by himself?
Hopefully.
He's going to secretly make his way up to Indiana and put some bets in this week.
I was going to say, what do you want to bet? This guy's probably like the most degenerate gambler of them all.
Speaking of degenerate gamblers, let's get to these football games. Unless you guys have anything to add.
No, let's go.
Before we start.
Week 1, 11.
Week
game
1.
Game number 1. Let's start with you, Dylan. You're in a hurry.
I'm all fired up today.
Bengals, Steelers. Line right now starting to go towards the Steelers. Bengals minus 4, total 40.5. Are we underestimating this revenge factor for the Bengals here in this game?
You know, I like the Bengals to win this game, but, you know, that's always a tough division dogfight. Pittsburgh took the opening week basically because and they won week 1 against the Bengals not because of Joe Burrow's 4 interceptions, but because their place kicker pulled a hammy and couldn't play the game.
Yeah.
And so they missed the extra point after they scored the game-tying touchdown, and then they missed a field goal in overtime. So they had two chances to win that game. I've always got to take Pittsburgh, especially at home, with a few points. But I think the Bengals will win the game.
So you're taking the Steelers?
Yeah.
I am going to go with Cincinnati. But here's the thing. Division rivals obviously creates closer matchups. I'm kind of with you on week 1. Burrow was coming off, appendectomy surgery. Kicker ends up going out midway through the game. Burrow just not ready to go. And yet they still almost won that game. And now you're telling me the difference in this one is only 4 points. Now that Burrow's healthy, the kicker's kicking. Pittsburgh has gone with a rookie quarterback, and he's only played a handful of games. Plus, we're coming off a bye. If this was not a division matchup, I think the Bengals would be a double-digit favorite. So I'm going to take Cincinnati.
I'm with you. I'm taking the Bengals here. Steelers have played the toughest schedule in the league, but I don't think that matters a whole lot. Cincinnati, 6-1 against the spread their last 7. And that game in week 1, Cincinnati outgained Pittsburgh by over 150 yards. Cincinnati's a better team, better spot for them off the bye. Steelers got their win last week against the Saints. Give me the Bengals here to lay that 4 points, and I'll take them to win and cover.
I hope you both are right.
Yeah. Let's go to the ATL. Justin Fields and Marcus Mariota. Atlanta, somehow, three-point favorite right now, total 49.5. Falcons at home in this one. Spearman.
I'll be honest. I haven't really followed a lot of Atlanta football. I've just kind of looked at numbers. This line makes no sense, and it's usually one of those things when the line doesn't make sense, you go with it. But I'm not going against Chicago. I love the direction they're going. I think last week they got hosed on a couple of calls. But that's how you play the game. I'm taking the Bears.
Now we know why the Atlanta Falcons don't let Marcus Mariota throw the ball very often. Did you watch the Thursday night game where they played Carolina? Marcus Mariota looked like Aaron Rodgers in sixth grade. The guy can't throw the ball. He's a serviceable quarterback. He can run. He can you know, get this offense to where it needs to go, but he cannot pass. You know, Chicago may employ Chase Claypool more now that he's had a game under his belt. Atlanta just looks bad, and they've not looked that impressive this season. I'm taking the Bears. I'm giving up the points.
I want to take the Bears here, too. Atlanta, they started out 6-0 against the spread. They've lost their last four against the spread. So who's the real team here? I think it's this 0-4 in the last four. If this thing ever went up to 3.5, I think everybody would be on the Bears here at buyback. But, yeah, I'm taking the Bears with the road dog with a low total here.
The weird thing about the Bears in this one, so they play Atlanta this week. I'm blanking who they play next week. Then they finally get a bye in, what, week 14, 13?
Woo! Last four games, Bears are averaging 31 points a game.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
No.
Early in the season.
No.
Did not see that coming. Yeah, this is a spot for the Bears, and that's a good point on that bye week, though. Yeah, I'm taking the Bears here. Next game, Carolina Panthers, Baltimore Ravens. Baker Mayfield back in for the Panthers. Lamar Jackson for Baltimore. Line here, Ravens minus 13, total 41.5. Could this be a double-digit dog? Dennis.
You know, I'm in the last 20 years, Brad.
Could you finish that statement for me?
I'm taking the Panthers. Look, Donta Freeman. All right. What's his last name?
Donta Freeman. Yeah.
That guy looks like the next Derrick Henry to me. I don't know what you guys see, but watching him in that Thursday night game against Atlanta, I mean, the guy's 6'2", 250 pounds or something like that. It's ridiculous. That guy's a monster in the making. I mean, he just looks impressive out there. Carolina wants to win games, and they look kind of inspired all of a sudden. I don't know about the Baker Mayfield part of it all. He's one of the biggest curiosities of the last couple of years in the NFL. But yeah, in the last 20 years, there's a lot of dogs that have covered double-digit spreads.
I've heard that.
Dynamite
drop in, Dylan. Yes.
I'm taking Carolina.
Atlanta's run defense is pretty weak, which is almost going back to the Chicago game there, why I like them. But 41 points and the spread is 13. Baker Mayfield at least has some familiarity with Baltimore as a whole. Baltimore still got a lot of people beat up, not quite ready to come back. Baltimore wins this game, and it may not be that close, but if nothing else, Carolina will get a garbage touchdown late and cover the spread, so I'm taking the Panthers.
Baltimore comes in off the bye. Baltimore has had a double-digit lead in all nine games this year, and somehow they've lost three. And they've played the much tougher schedule, number four in the league versus number 30. And that having said that, Carolina getting the double digits. Of course I'm taking Carolina getting double-digit points, 13. In the last 20 years, blah, blah, blah. You know what's happening. Double-digit dogs dominate in the NFL, especially this year. Carolina and 13, a best bet for us. Next game. Cleveland Browns and Buffalo Bills, live from Detroit, Michigan. A lot of people, public service announcement, if you had some action on this game, it's been canceled. If it was, you got it down before they moved that game to Detroit. So if you did, Dennis Dillon, as you look up at me like, what did you just say?
Yeah, what happened? They moved the game?
They moved the game to Detroit. Yeah, so the game is no longer in Buffalo. Hold all tickets. They have been cashed for you. Go ahead.
I was just going to say Cleveland was really bad off the bye last week. The secondary got embarrassed. The safety and captain, I think the guy's name is Pointer. He is back this week for the defense. Buffalo 25th in rushing attempts. Man, you know, you take out Josh Allen's 65 rushes this year, and they are dead last in rushing attempts this year, and that has come back to bite them in the last two losses. I'm taking Cleveland to rebound somehow and keep this game close enough, so give me the Browns.
Buffalo, 7.5-point favorite here, Beer Man. Total 49.5 now in the Dome in Detroit.
It should be more than that.
The Dome is, to me, the key part right there. A weird stat, Buffalo has not scored a second-half touchdown since week 6. Huh. That is 5 weeks that they have not scored a second-half touchdown. You know, it's just one of those things. I like the fact that Josh Allen is playing in a dome. You lost a game last week that you shouldn't have lost. You know, you held them on 4th-and-1, then you fumble in the end zone. Unbelievable. Usually when a great team loses, they come back a little bit more focused. Cleveland, I think their focus right now is it's almost Deshaun time. I'm going to take Buffalo and lay the 7.5.
I'm going to take Cleveland here. I think you got the shorter trip. This might help Cleveland a lot more than it helps Buffalo here. And if you saw Josh Allen last week, he did not look 100% in that game. I don't think he's back yet. And despite the fact that Cleveland was kind of dominated by Miami, yeah, I'm going to take the touchdown and a half point there and taking Cleveland. Next game, let's go to Indianapolis. Matt Ryan is back. Philadelphia Eagles. This was my preseason Super Bowl preseason prognostication. One side looks pretty good. The other, not so much. Eagles, 7-point favorite. Total 45.5, Beer Man.
Earlier in the week, it was 7 points, and I jumped on it really, really hard. Again, same thing. When a great team loses a game, they come back more focused. I think the emotion of having Jeff Saturday kind of propelled Indianapolis last week. I don't know that that holds over. Philadelphia significantly better than Indy. I do like the fact that Matt Ryan is back in the game, but I'm going to take Philadelphia to rebound quite nicely after that Washington loss.
You would think Philadelphia would come in hot after that loss on Monday night. But I love Jeff Saturday, and I'm so proud of my pick last week because that was not a popular pick anywhere. But he's got them running again, and he's got the offense more balanced, and the defense, I mean, that's a top-5 defense. And I also say this, Philadelphia doesn't seem to look good. I haven't researched this, but in the couple of games I've seen them in, they don't look good in the second half. And Jalen Hurts was playing confused in that second half. Washington had him turned upside down.
That's the first time they've had to play from behind.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. I didn't know that.
In the second half.
Yeah. I want to take Philadelphia. I really do. But I'm going to take Indy.
Best bet. I'm taking the Colts here. Love the touchdown. Love the fact that the Colts' first home game with Jeff Saturday. The Eagles look great. Great yards per play. Weakest schedule in the league, the Eagles. So are we kind of paying a little bit too much of a fee for a team that's only lost one game this year? I think we are. Colts keep this one closer than the touchdown here. The look-ahead line on this game before last week was Philly minus 10. So last week changed this line by a field goal. Probably should be a little bit more if we ask me, but that's just – we'll take the Colts there. Next game, Washington and Houston. Davis Mills and Taylor Heinicke. Washington, the 3-point favorite here, total 40.5, Dennis.
Ron Rivera's team seemed to gain a little bit of steam as the season goes on, and I feel like they're doing that this year. Chase Young is coming back, too, and that's huge. I read something about Houston tanking this season. I'm not believing that. Washington can stop the run, which is kind of the only thing that Houston does well. Yeah, give me Washington to win and cover.
I like Davis Mills like I like Taylor Heinicke. I think he's one of those guys. He's going to stick around in the league for a while. He's going to be a backup, and every time he comes in, he's going to be incredibly solid. I don't think he's a starter in this league as part of the problem. Even if he is a starter, he's going to be a starter on a team like Houston that's so-so at best. How in the world Houston has hung into as many games as they have this year is just a credit to Lovie Smith and his staff. But Washington's kind of rolling right now. Somewhat surprising. They're coming off a huge win. I don't think 3 points is enough in this one, though. So I'm going to take the – I almost said Redskins. I'm going to take the Commandos.
I'm going to take Houston in this spot. You got a Monday night, Washington big division win over an undefeated team. Washington looked great. Outgained Philly the other night, looked great. Houston actually beat the Giants on the field last week, though. They won the stats, won the yards per play. Both these teams, number 28, tied in yards per play. I'm going to take the home dog here. I'm going to take Houston getting the three, and I feel pretty good about this one. But let's go to the next one. New York Jets. New England Patriots, Mac Jones against Zach Wilson. Patriots, the home team, get a 3.5-point favorite. Total, a very low 38. Could be weather-dominated here.
Everywhere on this football field outside of coaching, I think the Jets are better. And that includes the quarterback right now. Mac Jones has just fallen apart. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Belichick was too stubborn to get a legit offensive coordinator in there. I think the Jets have had this game circled. I don't think they care if they win a game the rest of the year. They just want to win this one. And I'm going to take the Jets to win this game outright.
Mac Jones still a work in progress. I think he gets a good game under his belt and comes back the next week and forgets everything. He's just up and down. He's a young quarterback, second year. You can say the same thing about Zach Wilson. I don't think Bill Belichick loses twice to the Jets in the same season.
They beat him the first time.
Oh, they did? I was thinking the Jets won that game.
I'm taking the Jets here. You're going to give me 3.5. The hook will bring you back, Blues Traveler. I will take the Jets here. The Jets have actually been on last 8 games, 6-2 straight up, 6-2 against the spread. Patriots also 5-1 their last 6 against the spread. But yards per play, Jets are the better team here, and they played the much tougher schedule. So this is a game where I look, you're going to give me the 3.5. I'm looking to take the Jets here. Next game, Detroit Lions, New York Giants, Jared Goff and Daniel Jones. Giants 3-point home favorite, Lions and Giants, totals 45 here. Bierman.
What's the line?
Giants by 3.
It's kind of weird because Jared Goff typically does not play good on the road, and then, of course, he had a good game last week. Daniel Jones typically plays better on the road. And yet he's been playing decent at home all year. Brian Daboll's got something going with that team. I don't know what it is. I don't know how they're still around, but it's such a great story this year. Detroit, I still think, is just a lot of emotion and, an emotional win last week and the week before. So I'm going to take the Giants in this one.
The Detroit defense is bad. There's no question about that. But they're not bad against the run. And if they can slow Saquon Barkley down, they have a chance to stay in the game. I think Detroit has a real chance at an upset here. And I think, it just feels like Detroit's too easy to discount. So give me Detroit.
I'm taking Detroit here, too. I like them getting the points. I wish it was 3.5, but they're only getting 3 here. Giants, I still think they're a fraud. 7-2 straight up, 7-2 against the spread. Yards per play margin, one of the worst in the league against the second weakest schedule in the league. Eventually, this is going to even itself out. I'm going to take Detroit here. We also love the fact that Detroit is the road dog here with a low total of in the 40s here. So we'll take Detroit getting the points in this one. Next game, the LA Rams. Not sure if Matthew Stafford will be playing this week or not. If not, it'll be the great John Wolford against the New Orleans Saints, and it looks like Andy Dalton's going to start again. Saints, 2.5-point home favorite over the Rams. Total only 39, Dennis.
No, give me the Rams. I don't have any notes on this game whatsoever, but I just think that I don't understand why the Saints were favored last week on the road against Pittsburgh. I'm just so confused by all of that. And then, of course, Pittsburgh blows them out. I mean, the Saints just look so bad. You know what? I'll take the Saints. I'll change it. I'll take the Saints. Just talk myself into it. Yeah, John Wolford is horrible.
Stafford has practiced some this week. And coming out of concussion protocol, I think that's a positive sign. I think he's going to be able to go. That being said, I think the two hardest teams to pick this year are the Saints and the Rams. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we both kind of had them, if not winning their division, at least competing for it.
Yeah.
And both of them are hovering around last place in their division. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm going to take the Rams, but honestly, the only reason I'm taking the Rams in this one is because I'm getting points. Financially, I'm staying away from it completely.
Saints been a huge disappointment, but they're still ranked number six in the league in yards per play margin. Rams offense, though, the worst in the whole league. I'm going to lay the points with the Saints here and hope that the reverse line move that they're getting right now has some validity to it. I'm going to take the Saints here and lay the 2.5, but I don't like it, but I think it's a pretty good bet. Next game. Let's go to the 4 o'clock games. Las Vegas and Denver, an AFC West matchup. Derek Carr and Russell Wilson. Broncos, 2.5-point favorite. Raiders and Broncos, 41.5 total. Dennis.
Big emotional win for the Raiders this week. They win by 20 points. Both of these offenses have proven ineffective all season long. Jerry Jeudy out for Denver does not do Russell the love muscle any favors whatsoever. And just as they were starting to develop a little bit of chemistry too, that's kind of unfortunate for Bronco fans. But I think the Raiders pull out a very emotional win this week, and it could be a big one.
Raiders won the last game by 10. Carr threw for less than 200 yards. Denver's got a horrible coach. I mean, that's...
I think both teams have a horrible coach.
Well, yeah, possibly. I see more possibilities with Vegas than I do with Denver. Denver, though, does have an unbelievable defense. I kind of agree with Dennis on this one, though. I like the emotional win for the Raiders. They lost one last week that they had no business losing, and I think they kind of rebound a little bit in this one.
Raiders got Josh McDaniels got dominated by Jeff Saturday last week.
Yeah.
So that doesn't say much for his career going forward. Both these teams, I wish I could bet against both of them. But if you're going to give me 2.5 in this spot, yeah, I'm going to take the Raiders. Public all over Denver in this one, laying the 2.5. I will take the Raiders here, although the Raiders are 2-7, and they've been favored 7 times this year.
That's insane.
That's how bad they've been so far. So, yeah, I'll take the Raiders getting the 2.5 here. Next game, Dallas Cowboys, Minnesota Vikings. Kirk Cousins against Dak Prescott. Fishy line of the week. Minnesota Vikings 8-1. Dallas Cowboys, 1.5 road favorite in Minnesota, Beerman.
Minnesota's not losing close games anymore. They did a lot last year. You know, they're never out of it. That Buffalo game, it just shows you what a great team it is, what a great job the coaching staff has done. Whereas Dallas, I still think they're trying to just put together a couple of superstars and go with the rest of it. I am a little nervous about Kirk Cousins this week against that defensive line. That's the only thing that makes me nervous. So depending on how quickly he can get rid of the ball. But I'm going to take the Vikings again in this situation.
There's a backup kid on the O-line for the Minnesota Vikings, and seeing him go try to take on Micah Parsons is going to be scary for Kirk Cousins. That is my one big fear in this game.
I couldn't think of that offensive lineman's name.
Two teams are really, really similar. Minnesota at home is a plus, but then again, both teams play indoors. Dallas needs the bounce-back win after leading 28-14, I think it was, against Green Bay last week and letting Green Bay sneak back in and win. You know, this is a tough one to call. I'm going to take the home guys because Minnesota just does not quit. And two words, Justin Jefferson. What a catch last week. Unbelievable.
Fishy line. Minnesota sitting at 8-1. How are they a home dog here? It's like the desert's trying to tell you something. I don't want to take Dallas here, but I'll take them because they are the fishy line of the week, and it's something where Dallas is good, but they're 6-3. But, you know, usually you don't see a 6-3 team favored on the road against an 8-1 team. Somebody's telling us something.
Sounds like some good locker room motivation for the Minnesota Vikings to me.
Sounds like the desert knowing that Dallas is a public team as well. I'll take Dallas here and give up the 1.5, but I don't feel great about it. Next game, the night game, Kansas City and the Chargers. Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, rematch of a Thursday night game earlier this year. Chiefs, 5-point favorite, total big 52, Dennis.
I'll tell you this, that experiment with Isaiah Pacheco in the backfield has not rendered any results. I love it. The kid looks like he's just driven to just pile into the – you know, into a defender. He does not care, and I love his attitude about his play, but it's not working, and they're not really sticking with it. Jerick McKinnon, who used to be with Minnesota, is the more productive running back, but he's only utilized on passing downs. The Chargers are desperate for a win, and they're desperate to hang in on that AFC West division, and they really need to beat Kansas City. The last time these two teams hooked up was the game where Justin Herbert just got beat. I mean, physically beat, practically. I think they took some of his ribs home with them. They, you know, that kid just plays with so much grit, though. I'm going to call the Chargers to cover this one. Don't know if they're going to win it.
You like the cut of his jib, is that what you're telling me?
I love the cut of his jib minus the rib.
Very nice.
You're welcome.
So, division matchup that favors the underdog. The fact that it's a night game, standalone game, that favors the home team. Kansas City's got a lot of injuries in their wide receiver core. So it's a matter of who's going to play. That dude that they just grabbed out of the Giants, maybe wide receiver number one in this game. And then you've got Sky Moore also, who's probably going to be number two. Everything's kind of pointing the direction of the Chargers in this game. You know, you got Mike Williams.
Yep.
I think he's about ready to come back if he's not coming back this week. You've got, you know, I mean, it's just
Keenan Allen.
Thank you. That was the other name I couldn't think of. They're both getting closer if they're not ready to go this week. I'm not sure. I haven't really paid that much attention to it. But, again, everything's kind of pointing toward the Chargers in this game, especially if I'm getting 5 points. I'll take it.
I'm with you. One of my best bets. I'm taking the Chargers at night. The Chiefs, they win this game. They're up 4 games in the division. Could they really be?
Does it really matter?
Yeah, does it really matter? Buffalo's kind of falling off the way, and so the Chiefs probably have home field for the AFC if you kind of want to look at it going forward. I think you're paying a little bit of a premium with the Chiefs laying this many points on the road. We've seen this line drop from the 6.5 now to 5. So, yeah, I think the Sharps are trying to tell us something. Although the Chargers looked awful last week against the Niners, Spot, I think you're paying too much of a price here with the Chiefs. I'll take the Chargers getting the points. Let's go to the Monday night game. San Francisco and Arizona. Not sure if Kyler Murray is going to start for Arizona. Jimmy Garoppolo will start for the Niners. Niners, the line is telling us Kyler Murray is not starting. Jimmy G and the Niners, 8-point favorite. Total 43.5, Beerman.
8.5, that's a good question.
we should do a podcast.
seriously,
we'll sit in a room and we'll talk about the NFL spread and we'll have answers and we'll be good, smart, and informed.
When does that show start? when that show starts. I'd like to hear it.
We should wait until week 12, though.
I would say this. I like San Francisco to win this game.
Oh, that's a big call.
It's...
Money line?
Eight. Yeah,
money line, party line, you know, parlay over here.
Put 100 on the money line. So
just
we don't
get it out.
Yeah, just give me Arizona.
Popovich!
Give me Arizona. That's too many points.
Popovich! Okay, I'm sorry.
Colt McCoy is just looks just as good as Kyler Murray. I don't think it's much of a downgrade when Colt McCoy's out there. Yeah,
it's not.
So I'm taking Arizona in this game. I mean, and Hollywood Brown, I think, is coming back for, and that may just confuse the overall picture. But he's got weapons, and Arizona's not that bad on defense either. The secondary's pretty solid. Jimmy G hasn't really done a whole – I mean, what's he done? San Francisco's on the improve, and they're a really solid team top to bottom. But that's too many points in the NFL.
This is nothing more than you're betting a number here, not a people. You're betting numbers and data and not people and teams. I can't lay 8 points with anybody. San Francisco is really good. Even with Garoppolo, they are really good. Arizona, not so much. But to lay 8 points, especially in a standalone Monday night game like this, not a chance. I'll take Arizona and the points here. All right, we've gone through all the games. Do we have any best bets on the board?
So I'm looking right now. We all took Chicago. We all took Carolina. We all took Vegas. We all took the Chargers, and we all took Arizona. Kind of interesting. That's more than we normally agree on.
That is true. That is more.
Although it's getting later in the season.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Usually we're, you know, there's maybe two.
Yeah.
Maybe three, the occasional three. But my best bets are the Chargers, Detroit, Carolina, and there's another one. Oh, the Las Vegas Raiders. I got four for you.
My best bets, I'm going to have to go with the Bears. I'm still going with Philadelphia, even though both of you all are going with Indianapolis, and I'm going with the Jets as my other favorite.
I got three sides. Saints, I'm going to lay the points in the Saints. I'm going to take the Colts in the points. I'm going to take the Chargers in the points. Those are my three best bets for the sides this week. I do like the under in Buffalo, getting the 49.5, Cleveland, Buffalo, 49.5. I like the under in New England and the Jets, 38. I think that's going to be a very defensive game with two good defensive-oriented teams right now. So those are my best bets for the week. I would probably look to, as I'm wasting time here, to see if I could find another total. But, yeah, those are my best bets. And, yeah, there you go. Those are my best bets for the week.
Good stuff, fellas.
Good stuff. Any parting shots from the two of you guys?
Hootay. Just good to see the Bengals coming off the bye without Ja'Marr Chase and an extra week of practice.
How are your ESPN picks going against the spread? I know you're doing very, very well.
I think I had kind of a mediocre week last week.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I'm in the 99.4 percentile now.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
Dennis Dillon, for as much as we give him a hard time on this show, on that ESPN pick'em game against the spread, has been, for 2 years in a row now, has been one of the top 1% of those pickers in the entire game. So that's very impressive.
But I've been really terrible on this podcast.
Yes, you have.
I really have not.
I was setting it up to you let me finish.
No.
You've been great on that game, but on this show, I have humiliated you.
I'm not going to give you that glory.
I know you're not.
You know what's funny is I got an email from a listener named Cody, and he said, you're doing really great with your NFL picks. And I emailed him back. I said, well, really, Cody? I'm not. But
who is this Cody character, and where can I get in touch with him to put him in his place?
I think he's a pretty smart young man.
Well, if he's siding with you, I doubt his affiliations on this show. But we'll win you over, Cody. Yes.
For what it's worth, Dennis, you are 87-64, 23 games over 500, 99.1% of all players.
There you go.
Top 1% 2 years in a row. And your record, Beer Man? I'm sorry. Was I not supposed to ask that?
How impressive is this? The exact opposite of Dennis, 64-87.
Is that right?
You're fading him. That's perfect. Yes.
So he's 23 games over. I'm 23 games under. And you were 77-74. So altogether, we are 3 games up.
Absolutely.
Wow.
It's a team effort here on the...
Thanks, guys.
Exactly. It's a team effort. We're three. Each of us are averaging 1 game over 500.
I'm giving you both the Aaron Rodgers stare, the locker room stare. Way to help out, guys.
And I've got the rookie receiver look on my face like, huh? What? Exactly. All right, anything else before we get out of here?
No, man.
All good.
Best of luck to everybody.
Best of luck to you guys. So take us out of here, Dylan.
Well, from the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast for Classic Rock 92.1 and ESPN Radio 1300, live from Lexington, Kentucky, for Brad, for Beer Man, and Dead Air Dennis.
See ya!
And until the next time, as always...
Suck it, Stivers!
You can't jump ahead of us like that.
He was getting ready to make the winner be yours. But I had to get it in.
Well, you were sitting there going like this, and like you were stopping me. You held your finger
in
the
air.
Yeah,
you were getting ready to say, may the winners be yours.
Until the next time, as always...
Suck it, Stivers!
Suck all this, Stivers! May the winners be yours.